Well, good morning, and welcome this morning to our second annual church celebration Sunday. So our service today is a departure from the norm. The whole day will be a bit of a departure from the norm, but I'm excited that we can gather together and have a day together as a church body. Call to worship is taken from Psalm 16 that will set the tone for a day of celebration and celebratory music that James and the team are going to lead us in a minute. Psalm 16 says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And because I will not be shaken, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So that's our prayer this morning, that contemplating our great God will make our hearts glad and our tongues rejoice. Amen? Amen. Well, I got two of the three songs I wanted to have up here. Those songs were sung by Three Dog Night and Rare Earth. For those of you who might be old enough to recognize those tunes, another song by Kool and the Gang entitled Celebration, we hear at almost every wedding that we attend. It's like the number one dance song at a wedding. Now, these songs they're secular, they're worldly, the lyrics don't have a lot of substance, but the writers of these songs are on to something. There's something within us that does want to celebrate. And this desire, I believe, is given to us by God. So today is a chance to celebrate a bit, to gather as a church family. We did this last year. We do it again this year. To celebrate our life in God, to be together, to take a day just to rejoice in our life and what God has done in our life. You can celebrate this morning because I'm going to give a short message, and there's going to be plenty of food. Now, you might be quite surprised to learn that celebration is among the spiritual disciplines that have been practiced for hundreds of years. This discipline is just as important as fasting, as prayer, solitude, service. Celebration is closely linked with the disciplines of worship and gratitude. And what fuels all of these disciplines is God's amazing grace, his abundant love, his incredible faithfulness, and his works of salvation. You see, if we don't understand God's grace completely in our heart and in our mind, in our soul, if it doesn't just run through us, if we're not enraptured with what God has done in our life, then our worship is going to be greatly diminished. We're not going to feel a lot of joy, and we're not going to celebrate our life in God. Adele Calhoun defines celebration this way: celebration is a way of engaging in actions that orient the spirit toward worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Delighting in all the attentions and never-changing presence of the Trinity fuels celebrations. And she goes on to say that celebration is the desire to take joyful, passionate pleasure in God and the radically glorious nature of God's people, word, world, and purposes. Dallas Willard writes, "We engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, our life, our world, in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness, beauty, and goodness. We concentrate on our life and world as God's work and as God's gifts to us." So as believers, we don't just go have fun, although there's nothing wrong with having some fun. But what we can do now as believers in Jesus Christ, knowing our God, knowing his great love for us, is to celebrate our life in him and his life in us. And this should be very natural to us, shouldn't it? Because what does the gospel do? It sets captives free. It releases prisoners. It causes the blind to see. It gives hearing to the deaf. It binds up the brokenhearted. As believers, we can celebrate freedom from anxiety and care and worry because we know that we have a God who cares for us and that we can come to him anytime, night or day, and ask him to lift that burden off of our shoulders. God gives us reasons aplenty to celebrate our life in him. And as Augustine says, the Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. This morning, I just want to talk very briefly and very simply about three things: the basis for celebration, the way we celebrate, and the benefits of celebration. So first, the basis. It's pretty clear in scriptures. Number one, God commands us to celebrate. We read things like Psalm 149, "Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds." There's many other psalms that give us the same command, the same injunction to celebrate our life in God. Think about the fact that Israel was commanded to gather together three times a year for great feasts, celebrating the goodness of God. Consider the fact that God, in his Torah, set aside a year of Jubilee, where all the debts were canceled, slaves were released, land was laid fallow from planting crops, property was returned to the original owner. This was a celebration in God's provision, and that his people could trust in him and did not have to get everything through their own work and their own effort. Think about what Jesus told his disciples in the upper room right before his crucifixion. He said, I have told you this, meaning the commandments, to keep the commandments and to love one another. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Up until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And then when Jesus prayed to the Father, he said, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. See, we're designed to have the full measure of Jesus' joy in our lives. And that's why Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Another reason for celebration is that God rejoices over each one of us. Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." God himself rejoices. And he rejoices over each one of us, and he does it with singing. Our rejoicing, our celebration, is a response to what God is doing over us. We join in his celebration. His celebration of life and love and salvation, see? Celebration and gratitude are a response to God's grace and his goodness. And then another reason that we have cause for celebration is to simply follow all the examples that we see in scriptures. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Read the song of Moses that Moses sang after God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them safely through the Red Sea and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. And that song is followed immediately by Miriam leading the people in dancing. That's a great chapter. Think about Deborah's song of praise in Judges chapter 5, the song that she sang after God gave the Israelites victory over Jabin, the king of Canaan, and Sisera, his commander of chariots. David himself danced before the ark, much to his wife's dismay in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Jesus' first miracle took place where? At a wedding, where he turned the water of legalism into the wine of the Spirit. And think about Paul and Silas singing, praising God after they were beaten and jailed in Philippi. See, you could go on and on, just going through the Bible and looking at God's commands and the examples that we see. And we recognize that celebration, rejoicing as the people of God, is really not an option. God wants us to make a choice to celebrate him in the same way that he rejoices over us. And Paul reminds the Galatians that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. In other words, joy is the natural manifestation of what is growing within us as believers in Jesus Christ. Well, how should we celebrate? Well, celebration can take a lot of different forms. It can be formal or spontaneous, solemn or exhilarating. We can do it alone or we can do it with others. Today, we're going to do it with others back in the back parking lot, and you're going to have a chance to dunk every pastor over the age of, under the age of 60. But here are some ways you can celebrate. This is easy. You could come up with this real easy. Singing, dancing, and shouting. Psalm 150. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, the harp and lyre, timbrel and dancing, the strings and pipes, clash of cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, what do children do naturally when they hear music? What do they do? They just start dancing. It's as natural to them as eating or sleeping. We were on vacation back on the East Coast at a beach resort, and they had right by the beach, there was a place where there was music every night. And we'd go there, get a hamburger, and every night when the music started up, all the little kids would just rush in front of the guy playing music and just start dancing around. It was marvelous, and everybody loved it. It was delightful. See, this comes natural to children. We lose that sense of spontaneity as we grow older. We become old fuddy-duddies. My wife is known on occasion to break into the dance of joy. Now, I will not imitate it for you, because I'll throw out my back and I won't be able to preach second service. But she'll break into the dance of joy, and it's infectious. If there's people around, they get infected with joy. And I just delight in seeing her do her little thing. Feasting together with others, sitting around a dinner table, sharing a meal. Not just having fun, but bringing the conversation to bear on the work of God in our life. Maybe taking some time to honor a particular person because you've recognized that you've seen God at work in their life. You've seen a change in their life, a transformation, and you take time to applaud that around a dinner table. Or to have somebody share a story about something that God has done in their life. That just brings celebration and joy. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven anyway, so we might as well start doing it now. Laughing. Laughing at ourselves, laughing at life, not taking ourselves too seriously. A few weeks ago, I was watching some dumb movie with my son, and I found myself laughing hysterically. My wife said, "John, it isn't that funny." And I said, "I know, but it just feels so good to laugh." And it does feel good to laugh. One of the things that my wife and I love to do is to watch old movies. You know, we delight in watching old comedy. The dialogue is delightful. And it does, some of these old movies, you know, the Marx Brothers, even Abbott Costello, a lot of these things, they're delightful. They make you smile. And they don't have the crassness and grossness that we find in the modern attempts at romantic comedies. Enjoy the creative gifts that God gives to his people. You know, what happens to you when you just stand here and gaze at this window and just sit in it? What influence does it have on your heart? It should move you to a sense of appreciation, a sense of rejoicing over what God has done for you and all of his people. That the kingdom of God is here now. You know, we have a group of people in our body that meet together to use their creative gifts to paint and various things to express what we're teaching on Sunday mornings or what people are studying in their home fellowships. It's marvelous. You know, the beauty of art is something that can cause us to celebrate and rejoice. I dream of a day when we have more artwork up here on the sides of our church, maybe, just to draw us in to the celebration of God and rejoice in him. Sometimes I long that on special holidays that we would walk in and see this place decked out in all kinds of colors as a way of just bringing us into the celebration of the Father. God says through his prophet Joel, in the last days, when the Spirit comes, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. See, we're designed through the Spirit to have visions and dreams. Another way of celebrating, make family events into times of celebration and thanksgivings. Be intentional in your family's settings to celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, or just make up your own family celebration day. Make them special. Make them intentional. Now, and again, not just to have fun, but to honor somebody, to make them feel special. Invite others to join in the celebration. And then finally, celebrate the holidays. Especially Easter and Christmas. These are times of great celebration. Unfortunately, Christmas wears us out too much of the time, but we shouldn't give up. We should be intentional about making that a celebration in the incarnation, that God himself came to be with us, came to live among us, came to save us. And then Easter is the greatest day of celebration when we celebrate the resurrection. Some of you know that I have some elderly neighbors that live across from me, and I was over visiting them a few weeks ago, and the woman who grew up in Holland asked me if our church was celebrating Whit Sunday, and I said, "What is Whit Sunday?" And she says, "You don't celebrate Whit Sunday?" I said, "No, never heard of it." She says, "Oh, and I grew up in Holland. We celebrated Whit Sunday. It's a celebration of Pentecost, of the giving of the Holy Spirit. White Sunday. That was the day when the new initiates, the new converts, were dressed in white and baptized." And she said that on the Whit Sunday, every business was closed. Everything shut down Sunday and Monday to celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wow, we've moved a long way from that, haven't we? And in some places, I read up on Whit Sunday, there's parades and there's dancing and there's a festival that goes along with it. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, some crazy party life. I hope you know that. Celebration is just one aspect of our Christian life that's balanced by other disciplines. At this point, we might ask, well, what about suffering? What if I just don't feel like celebrating? Well, there's always going to be suffering in this world. If we ourselves are not facing some sort of struggle or temptation to despair, all we have to do is watch the news or read the papers in order to become quite depressed. The cloud of suffering that hangs over this world and sometimes over our life will not be removed, no matter how spiritual we become. Certainly, we do not celebrate evil, the effects of sin on humanity. We don't, in some sick way, celebrate a tragedy as the will of God. However, we live with the eyes of faith, knowing that God works all things together for good for the ones who love Him. And there's something that's much deeper than sorrow, and that's the joy of the Lord, God's joy. And in the midst of our trials, we can choose to be joyful because we know that we worship a God that turns mourning into dancing. Okay? Adele Calhoun writes, "Celebrating God does not depend on perfect circumstances or happy feelings. We can either search for God in all circumstances or not. We can seek the pulse of hope and celebration because it is God's reality." Well, what are some of the benefits of celebration, taking time to rejoice? Well, let me mention a few. One, celebration allows us to participate in the fellowship and joy of the Trinity. Heaven is celebrating. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surrounded by the angels and a host of witnesses, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And when we celebrate, we are participating in that heavenly scene as if we were there. Celebration gives strength to our life. Nehemiah chapter 8, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Times of celebration and joy, experiencing joy, sustain us through the difficult times of life. Celebration allows us to persevere through the things that might be weighing upon us. Third, we receive life as a gift from God. When we celebrate, we're acknowledging that our life is simply a gift from God. This is what God has given to us. And when we live with life as a gift, we live in an abundance, not a scarcity. We're not looking at what is wrong, we're looking at what is right. And we see it from God's eyes, and we begin to develop a heart of appreciation. Every good and perfect gift is given by the Father. Number four, it keeps you from taking yourself too seriously. This is a great fruit of celebration. You know, instead of being boring, uptight Pharisees who are, who are unfree, we can become free, alive, and interesting. Laughing at ourselves breaks down the barriers between various peoples, between powerful and the unpowerful, between the rich and the poor, between whatever the thing is that you measure and distinguishes you from other people. When you begin to laugh at yourself and not take yourself too seriously, it's a good thing. Celebration helps us to relax and enjoy the good things of earth. You know, we can become weary by pursuing our spiritual life. We become weary in doing good. And at times we just relax. Spirituality, and especially celebration, is earthy. You know, read Deuteronomy chapter 14. where the Torah describes what a person is to do with the first fruits of their produce, to go and give a tithe to the Lord. But if they can't make it to the place to offer that tithe, they're to sell their tithe for money, and then they can go, and God says, spend it on whatever you want. Oxen, sheep, strong drink, go ahead, have a good time. Celebration moves us out of sadness and oppression. You know, depression is an epidemic today. More people are on medication for depression than probably any time in history. And I have this tendency to, I can go down pretty quick myself into a melancholy mood as my natural kind of bent. I kind of go opposite of gas prices. I go down real quick and I go up real slow. But when you celebrate, it's healing. It lightens the load. It laughing and rejoicing, especially with other people, allows me to enter kind of back into life again and get my mind off of myself, get my heart onto other people and to God. And it's a good thing. And actually, research has verified that celebrating is actually healing to our physical body. Celebration frees us from a judgmental spirit. It stops us from being critical of other people, having a judgmental attitude, always being negative, 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 rather than praising not just God, but edifying other people. See? Speech that edifies other people. That's what happens when we celebrate. And then finally, it really develops a pattern for the year, for our holidays and different things that take place through our year to mark out times for celebration. We need a pattern. We need to mark these days, just like we mark days in our calendar for other things and other events. We need to mark days, set days apart to celebrate with those people that are close to us, family, friends, church family, and you know, that's what we're doing today. This is the second annual Celebration Sunday or Family Day here at PBC. We've marked out a day where we can rejoice in God together. And hopefully we don't just have fun and laugh at pastors getting dunked, but we're having conversation with one another and saying, you know, God's at work in my life. I know He is. I'm having a hard time seeing it, but I know He is. And celebrating the fact that God is with you and you are not alone. Well, there's many ways we can celebrate. But celebrate is not an option. And as I've outlined, there are some very good reasons to participate in the spiritual discipline of celebration. But now I'm going to turn it over to you for a little bit. We're going to have a time of sharing. And I'm going to throw out here a couple of questions for you to share on this morning. One is, how do you experience joy in your Christian life? Where are you most likely to celebrate God? Perhaps it's alone with others in worship service, in music, in nature. James just showed you a picture of where he celebrates God. It's a vista that he goes to just to rejoice in God. He does that alone. Or is there an event in the past or a promise for the future that causes you to celebrate God? Has something happened to you recently that gives you cause to celebrate? Perhaps it's a new revelation about yourself or God, a healed relationship, or an indication of God's faithfulness to you. So we've got this time now. We have a couple of roving mics. The way I've penned these questions, it has to be personal, and it has to be around this theme that we've been talking about this morning. Make it short. I'd just love to hear many of you just pop up and say, hey, this gives me cause for rejoice. This brings joy into my life. So just raise your hand and stand where you are. Well, let's pray, huh? Well, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you that we can spend some time just thinking on the ways that we find joy in you and the way we can celebrate our life in you. We thank you that you delight in us, that you're singing and rejoicing over each of us. We pray, God, that we can join the chorus, that heavenly chorus, that singing, holy, 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 that you'd open up our eyes to see the joy of Jesus in the everyday events of our lives and to just be intentional about celebrating our life in you. There's so many things we can be joyful over, so many things that can bring gratitude to our hearts. Your salvation, your goodness, your faithfulness, and those things cannot be shaken. And so we praise you this morning and really commit the rest of this day to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. May the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so that for you he will become immeasurable, and that in you he will become laughter, exultation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take from you. Amen.